BigTalkRadio.com.
I'm not a bad guy. I'm not a good guy. I'm the guy.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw post show.
This is Monday Night Raw. The bus is taking over.
Featuring Sir Rockin.
If I were to apply to you now on this concrete, a perfectly executed inside cradle, commonly known as a small package, how long do you think it would take you to escape?
You would never escape a perfectly executed small package. 99% of the time, a small package, when applied expertly by an expert wrestler like myself, always works.
And Lindsay Ward, we're scared.
I mean, I would be too. You're looking at the baddest diva in the WWE. You're going to find out why I am the boss.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Do you see this? This is the Kevin Owens Show!
This music gets you off your feet. It gets you excited. It makes you want to bash Canadian. No, wait, that's the other dude who bashes Canadian, because this one's a Canadian. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Raw Post Show live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Presented as always by Wrestling Figure Wednesday. Go to youtube.com/mbg1211 for all your stop motion wrestling action figure needs and gerwick.net. I'm Sorokin, joined as always by the one, the only, Lindsay Ward.
Makes you just want to dance, you know?
It
just
does.
Just a fun theme.
It does. It makes you all bouncy.
You know, I'm just sitting here cheer dancing. It's like, hey, Sammy Sandstein. And it makes you smile because you just go, Sammy!
And Sammy was in the ring, and so was Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho and Alberto Del Rio and Cesaro and Dean Ambrose. And they were all standing on top of ladders. Why? Because ladders.
Because somebody thought doing a promo battle on a ladder was clearly a good idea with these particular group of people.
Kevin told Lillian, we know who everyone is, and since they're all big stars except for Sammy, take a shot.
Kevin, play nice.
Jericho says he's the most famous one in the arena. He said he was famous before he even knew it. And then Kevin ends Jericho's catchphrase, you know, because I'm the best in the world, yada, yada, yada. Kevin says he will have Money in the Bank contract, because he'll win it, and you will go down as a guy who watched him win it. You will be on posters and Blu-rays covers in the background because, you know, you're on his shadow. And Dean just wanted to fight. Kevin says he's not done. Winning the Money Back contract will give him a chance at the WWE title anytime he wants and anywhere he wants. He will get that briefcase, cash it in, and become WWE champion. And then he will take on all comers, except for the guys in the ring.
Because screw them.
Screw them. But he'll fight like, let's see, he said the Nation of Domination, the Four Horsemen, Wayland Mercy.
There's a name.
there's a name. And there's one other name that I forget he mentioned off the top of my head. But it was basically, or anyone I see on the WWE Network. Oh, Jean-Pierre Lafitte. That's who the other one was. But anyone else he's seen on the WWE Network. At that point, Sammy says Kevin thinks he will get the championship, but this is just an opportunity. He says he will not make it a joke if he wins. He will actually face anyone in the locker room. Basically, he will give back when he becomes champion.
Sammy, you're such a good little snowflake.
Dean says we know Kevin won't fight anyone, while Sammy will fight anyone in the back. He will fight a polar bear or mole people or aliens. He wants to fight anyone. Del Rio spoke in Spanish. Kevin was impressed. Ooh, Spanish.
Sarcastically impressed. Mm-hmm. I loved it. I couldn't help but laugh at that.
He says, you won't win the title in the WWE. You are a dog covered with fleas. You are just a paper boy. Cesaro comments about Alberto's Spanish skills. Jericho tells Cesaro to shut up and says he created this match. Cesaro asks Jericho why he hasn't won a match, and he said he won one. But then which one? I won the first one. I mean, I won the sixth one. And then there was Stupid Idiotville or something like that, where he won it at. So you mean your hometown? I'm from Winnipeg, you idiot!
That was awesome.
Jericho says, being in this match with him, one of the greatest in this generation, puts you at a different level. Everyone climbs down ladders at this point, while Jericho tells that this is time for the gift of Jericho. Ambrose then climbs the ladder and punches Jericho, and then the fights are on. And then, out of nowhere, the surprise of all surprise, the biggest return in the history of returns, Teddy Long.
Everybody's like, what?
Says he got word that SmackDown's going live on Tuesday, so he's back to take control of the longest running weekly episodic, and he screwed up the line because, you know, mocking the screw up he did once. Jericho wants to know what Teddy is babbling about. He says, Teddy doesn't even work here. Teddy says, not yet, but if he was charged and this was live, he would make this a no disqualification, fatal four way, six pack challenge match. Holla holla. And Stephanie came out and was wondering what the hell he's doing out there. Teddy called Stephanie baby girl, and Steph did not like that.
Steph was like, no.
No, I'm not your baby girl. Stephanie says Teddy's, like, she likes Teddy's initiative, but there are no decision made about who's running SmackDown, and they're not making any decisions tonight. Teddy wanted Shane, but Shane's not here. Shane's on vacation this week. And then Stephanie told Teddy to get stepping, which she then made three matches. Zayn versus Del Rio, Ambrose versus Owens, and Cesaro versus Jericho.
Not a bad grouping.
Not a bad grouping at all. Weird opening segment. The comedy was good between them, the six men. There were some nice shots taken.
I think that was the theme of the night in the promo segments. Shots were taken. Like, a lot of shots were taken. We'll get into that a little bit later, but yeah, I mean, it was a different opening segment. I don't understand why they all needed to be on ladders, but okay.
Because ladders?
Because why not? I mean, that's the only thing I can figure. Why not?
Yeah, pretty much. We then had Cesaro and Jericho, and they had a pretty good match. Cesaro wins with the sharpshooter, because Jericho tapped out.
Go Cesaro. Go Cesaro.
Somewhere Tyson Kidd was happy.
He was cheering his man on.
We had a video package, or an interview package with Seth Rollins. Taking a look back at the history of the Shield and winning the championship. It was very good. There's one with Roman Reigns as well. They're both very good. They used some footage from WWE 24. It was good stuff.
It was very good stuff. Very, very good stuff.
Rusev took on Jack Swagger. Rusev won by countout when Swagger got tossed into Titus O'Neil. Then Titus and Swagger went after Rusev, and Titus laid out Rusev with a boot.
Hey, look, Swag's made Raw.
In his hometown.
In his hometown, how sweet.
Right. We then had John Cena in the ring. Talked about the anticipation started with John Cena and AJ Styles in the ring together for the first time. That is a moment that happens once in a generation. What we usually have is a rowdy Raw crowd really, really makes some noise. You have people chanting, let's go Cena, Cena sucks. He said half of you got his back and half of you don't want him back. What you had for 2 minutes, you had the crowd chanting, let's go Cena, AJ Styles. Cena says he's been a part of a lot of moments, but he's only experienced that with The Rock. Rock and AJ have different career paths. People say, what if? And finally, we are about to get it. But now, he needs an answer to another question. Why, AJ, why? With all the excitement build for a WrestleMania dream match, why did you take the easy way out? AJ and the club then come out. Cena says, you don't need the Bullet Club to be involved. AJ says he had a plan. He was going to get in the ring, shake your hand, and punch you right in between the eyes. It worked to perfection. You insult me, John, not with what you do. You were great on the mic, on your morning shows, late night shows, and your movies. Not the ones you star in, but your cameos are good. Taking shots.
Ouch.
He said John insults him every time the bell rings. AJ says he burns it up inside the ring. It burns you up inside that on your best day, you can't beat me. And AJ does the hand gesture thingy. AJ says that John doesn't want to be in the ring with him because he would run circles around him when his children ask him, why doesn't he wrestle John Cena? That's why. John says that AJ took 15 years to get here and says the same thing everyone else does. John says he sees a man who worked 2 decades to make it to the grandest stage of them all. Then he made his debut at the Royal Rumble and did nothing. He got his chance for the world title and he failed and failed again. Then you second-guessed yourself. You were told you were God's gift to sports entertainment, but you have been a bust.
Ouch.
You say you belong here, but that is not phenomenal. That is desperate. You couldn't get past Roman Reigns, and now you want to fight John Cena? You don't know what you're getting into. AJ says he's been all over the world, desperate is for someone who does not go anywhere. He says they welcome him back. He will sell out anywhere he goes. He says he has nothing else to prove, but unfortunately he has nothing to lose, so he is the most dangerous. John wants to know why John Cena versus the club, not John Cena versus AJ Styles. We talked about shot. Here it is. AJ says that when you lose to John Cena, it's time to get the shovel because you bury that guy. These men are his insurance policy to make sure his head stays above ground. You don't know what you're dealing with. So the club makes their way to the ring, surround the ring, ready to go after John Cena, but the New Day show up and have John Cena's back.
The shovel shot, man. The shovel shot.
I really love this segment between AJ and John Cena. Really loved it. Cena had a couple jokes, but he was serious. He was on point. This was the perfect combination.
Yeah, this was really, really, really well done. And enjoyed this immensely. Like, it was supremely well done.
It really was.
And the
really
shots.
Was.
I mean, my God, the shots. Just, holy crap.
Yeah. It was great.
I mean, you had them be joking but serious at the same time.
It felt real. It felt personal. It was good.
Yeah. Enjoyed this tremendously.
We then had Enzo Amore and Colin Casta take on Gotch and Aiden English. They did some Muhammad Ali quotes in their intro, and then they redid the payback spot with Enzo getting hurt on the outside.
Was that necessary?
I don't think it was. English and Gotch won by DQ as Cass just sort of beat on both men, and the referee kept pulling them off, and he wouldn't stop. So they won by disqualification. Enzo would get back in the ring. I don't know if we needed to do the injury spot, but they did it.
You know, I get that Enzo was cool with it. He wouldn't have done it if he wasn't, but to me it's like, I don't think that was necessary. I don't think it added anything to the match beyond you just had Cass here kill Bill Sirens and he just murdered everybody.
Pretty much. We had Sami Zayn then backstage getting ready for his match. Phillips asked him about being the underdog and said, yeah, I'm the underdog because Alberto Del Rio actually won the briefcase once. Alberto enters and says winning the match and getting the briefcase will make your life. It will show everyone who laughed at you that you're wrong. Sammy's dream is his reality. You are a flea-infested perro and a paper boy. I was a little awkward, but it was alright.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just like, oh, okay. Alright. Alberto's talking smack. Got it. I don't know. It was weird.
So we're then backstage. Stephanie's in her room. Teddy Long with his phone. Blasting his music, walks in. Teddy says if he was charging SmackDown, he would have taken advantage of Enzo and Cass and the Vaudevillains, and he would, you know, take the tag team division to the top. Why not throw Anderson and Gallows, and they would make it a final four-way for the tag titles? Stephanie wants to know how Teddy got past security, and Teddy says he put out the dollar dollar, y'all, because the dollar dollar makes you go, holla holla.
And Stephanie was like, get out of my office. Just get out.
And then she made a phone call to telemarketing. I have this great idea, and it's going to be Teddy's four-way idea. That should be a fun match.
It should be a really fun match. I'm kind of excited for it, actually.
Sammy versus Del Rio was awkward, especially the ending.
Yeah.
They go for the double foot stomp. Sammy got out of it for a second, and he did it again, and Del Rio won. It was awkward.
They didn't click together. It was just weird.
Yeah, it was. We had a little bit of Dean Ambrose and Kevin Owens backstage, and we got serious Dean Ambrose. You know, Dean asked if he was off at TLC or the Royal Rumble, because Kevin says, you don't seem right. You look like you've gone off the deep end. Kevin says Dean needs help, but Dean says Kevin is the one who needs help. Interesting.
Very interesting.
We then had Dean Ambrose and Kevin Owens. This match, again, was a little awkward because they looked like they were rushing very through it.
Yeah, they were. It's like they were rushing through the beginning, and then they slowed down.
It was weird.
It was weird.
Dean Ambrose won with the Dirty Deeds. After the match, got a ladder, went up to get the briefcase. Kevin Owens would show him off the ladder. Kevin then pointed at the briefcase. We sat here waiting. Is someone showing up at this point?
Bray Wyatt?
But there was no Bray Wyatt to be seen.
None.
We've kind of figured it out. It's probably next week, based off of the New Orleans tease he put on Twitter and them being in New Orleans next week. So we'll have to see if he shows up next week. We then had life lessons with Coach Backlund about running. Then Charlotte was in the ring with Dana Brooke. Charlotte says every great champion can admit they're wrong. For the last 2 weeks, she's seen footage of her and her dad. She tells her dad that she is sorry, but everything she said needed to be said. You don't know what it's like to be on top and have the pressure on you every day. When she told her dad he was dead to her, she meant it professionally. She wants to still celebrate Christmas with him and work out and be his best friend. But she doesn't want to share the spotlight with Ric Flair.
Go, Charlotte. Go, baby girl. Get it. She's confident. She looked good. She sounded good. I mean, just go, baby girl. Get it.
Natty and Becky came out to the ring. They went back and forth, took some shots at the families. And, you know, Charlotte says Dana's a protege. Natty tells Dana that Charlotte is a master manipulator, and she tells Dana that she has options. Becky says that Scream Banshee turned on her flesh and blood. Dana walked away from Charlotte, you know, but it was a ruse. As they went after Natty, Becky tripped over Natty, and it was awkward from there.
It was kind of a mess. It was really kind of a mess. I mean, they were doing their darndest, and they were really trying in this, but this was a little bit of a mess.
Yeah, it was. It was a mess. We then had the Shining Stars talk more about Puerto Rico. We had Tyler Breeze versus R-Truth. And a no contest.
Again, this was kind of a mess.
But they have matching outfits.
And Tyler was shaving Fandango's back just for this. There's a bromance, a brewing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so excited.
So this all built up to Teddy Long returning and wanting to make this a tag team match play, holla holla, but he had no authority.
The whole night, we've been building up to the moment of everybody making the jokes. Holla holla, tag team match, holla holla. You gonna fight The Undertaker, player? You gonna fight Randy Orton? You gonna fight Undertaker and Randy Orton? Like, the whole night, everybody's making jokes. And they built to this moment of Teddy Long making the tag team match. It was fabulous. I miss Teddy Long.
But that was enough fill of Teddy Long. Stephanie then berated him backstage and says, you know, we're not gonna have some old fool who can only do anything but dance on SmackDown. She says she would be the one running SmackDown, and she tossed Teddy Long out of the building. We then had a Muhammad Ali tribute, which was nice.
Very classy.
We then had the announcement that next week the Ambrose Asylum is back.
Oh, this is going to be awkward.
With Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns as the special guest.
This is going to end in shenanigans. That's all I got to say. Massive levels of shenanigans with Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins, and Roman Reigns. Like, there's going to be some ugliness that occurs in this. It's about time, because it's all basically going to be Dean and Roman looking at Seth going, what the hell? What the actual hell? I can't wait.
I can't wait either. And that took us to our main event, The New Day versus The Club. They brawl before the match even starts, and Xavier Woods gets taken out, and it leads to it being a handicap match, Big E and Kofi versus The Club. So, they had a good match, and it saw The Club pick up the victory. After the match, The Club start beating down on The New Day, which saw John Cena come in and make the save. Gallows ended up beating an AA from John Cena, and John Cena and The New Day stand tall.
Go John Cena, go New Day. This was a fun ending to Monday Night Raw.
It was a fun ending to Monday Night Raw. And that will do it for us here on the Raw Post Show, because Raw ended a little bit better than last week. This had good angles.
No Wyatts,
but better angles.
On the upside, Bray Wyatt has been cleared.
And we'll talk more about that Thursday night on the Rack at 10 p.m. Eastern.
That's right, we're also going to be telling you all the happenings of this week's NXT TakeOver. That's right, it happens on Wednesday. We'll break it down, we'll let you know who won, who lost, and our thoughts on the matches. We'll also have plenty of news, plenty of notes, and so much more. It's The Rack, Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
I have a feeling we're going to be talking about Brock Lesnar, too.
A lot.
A lot about Brock. There's layers upon layers upon layers.
Yes, because stuff happened.
Rack Radio Show, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube.com, Google Play, Stitcher, iTunes. All of it, Rack Radio Show. Easy, simple. Saturday Night Midnight at the CB Radio, the Weird, the Wacky, and the Usual. Go back and listen to last week's episode, which featured WCW Spelling Bee, a CB Radio Vault moment, trip to Taco Bell, and so much more at CB Radio Saturday Night's Midnight-ish. Hashtag blame Rob when a celebrity dies, including one that happened tonight. Talk about it. The Kimbo Slice. It's a thing. CB Radio,
very sad.
Yeah. Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio with Tim Steiner, Omega, and Heartbreak Mike. 10 p.m. Eastern. At WTR Sunday on Facebook and Twitter. Preview Money in the Bank, I believe, this week. Yeah, getting that close. So there you go. I'll be back next Monday night for the Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. At Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network.
You can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LNSWRD, and go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you'd like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it's available for you viewing pleasure at pass.net/LinsWard, same as the Twitters.
Thanks to Garwick.net and Wrestling Figure Wednesday, youtube.com/MBG1211 for your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. She's Lindsay, I'm Rock. We'll see you next Monday night for the Raw Post Show, and this Thursday night for the Rack, 10 p.m. Eastern, along the airwaves of the Wild Talk Radio Network.